It was summer, but when the summer rolls around, I wish I was freezing. They don't call me Mr. Greenside for no reason. When they do, I pause and cough it out. I cough it out, I cough it out, I cough it out, I cough it out. And seem to bend and take the shape of them and all. Can't you see? I am delusional with love. I am delusional with love. I am delusional with support, I will continue. What I'm trying to say is you never know what you've been through. Do you pause and cough it out? I cough it out, I cough it out, I cough it out, I cough it out. All the branches on the trees, but we carved our initials and seem to bend and take the shape of them and go. I am delusional of love, I am delusional of love, I am delusional of love. shape of them and all. Can't you see? I am the original of love. I am the original of love. I am the original of love. So whatever I did for you last year, I cannot do it again. I will not do it again.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29, and thanks to my college degree, I'm a systems analyst. And the college me would tell you.
I wouldn't be here without big brothers, big sisters. My big brother believed in me, and to a 7-year-old...
That means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Imagine a friend has just told you they were diagnosed with a mental illness. What would you do? Awkward, isn't it? But what's even more awkward is, if you're not there for them, they'll be less likely to recover. Mental illness. What a difference a friend makes. To learn more, go to whatadifference.org. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Ellis Clark of Big Parade.
Hello, this is Paul from Remember Alice.
This is King Britt from Oven Recording.
Hi, this is Paul from Orbit, and you're listening to
KTRM, Kirksville.
What can I do you for, Deep Dish?
Tune in to KTRM Kirksville for the best of punk and folk, hip-hop and techno, as well as talk and sports programming.
You want me, Hot Lips?
Keep it on the left for more of Kirksville's true alternative coming right up.
Gonna have to come down here. Bitch.
Great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great
radio station
the Soviets have. Screw them. This is your time.
And this is KTRN, Kirksville.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kirksville's True Alternative, 88.7 The Edge. I am DJ Cece, and I'm here with my colleagues DJ Evil and DJ EJ.
Hey, what's going on?
You all are tuned in to The Pit. Tonight, we're going to be just discussing eating disorders, some of the treatments for them, and then signs that you can look out for if you ever suspect them in a loved one or a friend.
So to start things off, a little promotion. Can't sleep, cramming for a test, just looking for new music. Tune into Obscure Insomnia from 12 to 2 a.m. on Sundays with Megan for your source of late night indie jams. First up for our eating disorders, I'm DJ EJ, but I'm not going first. My colleague DJ Eva will go first, and she is presenting on...
screening. That's what we're going to talk about first. So whenever you go into to see your physician, there are a couple of questions that they might ask you to kind of see if you might have an eating disorder. The mnemonic is called SCOF, and that stands for Sick, Control, One, Fat, and Food. And you might be like, what the heck is she talking about? So that's just the little mnemonic that they use to remember these questions. So the first one is, do you make yourself sick because you feel uncomfortably full? Do you worry you have lost control over how much you eat? Have you recently lost more than one stone? That's a British measurement. So that's about 14 pounds in a 3-month period. Do you believe yourself to be fat when others say you are too thin? And the last question is, would you say that food dominates your life? So this is known as SCOF, and it's a screening tool that physicians use. If you report a yes to two or more questions, that's associated with a sensitivity and a specificity of 100% and 87.5% for the diagnosis of an eating disorder. Now, that doesn't get into what type of eating disorder you might have. It just alerts the physician that he needs to do some further digging to see what's going on exactly. Another second short tool that you can use is called the ESP, and that is the Eating Disorder Screen for Primary Care. And these questions are you satisfied with your eating patterns? No is an abnormal answer. Do you ever eat in secret? Yes is abnormal. Does your weight affect the way you feel about yourself? Yes is also considered an abnormal answer. Have you any members of your family suffered with an eating disorder? Yes is also an abnormal answer. And do you currently suffer with, or have you ever suffered in the past with, an eating disorder? And obviously, yes would be the abnormal answer for that. The sensitivity and specificity of this exam is 100% and 71%. And so that's if you have two or more responses. And so that what that means is that if you have two abnormal responses to this test, that you can rule in an eating disorder with 100%, with 100% positivity that there is an eating disorder present. Another one of the self-report eating disorder instruments is 26 items, and it's called the eating attitudes test. And so a doctor might give that to you at the beginning of an appointment and have you fill it out and then review your answers. Next, I'm going to talk about one of the most common eating disorders, and that's bulimia nervosa. So this is what happens when somebody overeats and then purges. And so you have to have both characteristics of overeating in a certain amount of period, and then you have to engage in the unhealthy behavior to rid your body of the food to avoid gaining the weight. So most people who have bulimia nervosa are at a normal weight or may be a little bit overweight. The symptoms that are required for diagnosis of bulimia nervosa are binge eating at least once a week for 3 months or longer. People will feel out of control, guilty, afraid, or ashamed. People will either purge or exercise. So by purging, that can either be by vomiting, that can be by taking medications to cause you to have diarrhea. It can also be diuretics to make you pee a lot more, just to try to lose that excess weight. There's always going to be calorie restriction, and then there's going to be binge eating and then purging. It's kind of like a vicious cycle. And so a person might be like, oh, I'm on a diet, and like really restrict what they're eating. And then because they're so hungry, like they'll eat a whole bunch of food and they'll feel really guilty. And then they'll engage in activities such as like running 5 miles, like to try to like work off all of the extra calories that they ate. And it just continues over and over. Bulimia nervosa is a serious health condition because it leads to a lot of other problems. It can cause dehydration, fatigue. It can cause irregular menstrual periods in women. It damages the esophagus, especially if you're practicing the vomiting purge. It damages your teeth, your gums, and your cheeks. It can cause problems with your heart, kidney, and other organs. It can cause you to have a lot of abdominal pain, too. So usually bulimia nervosa has what's called a comorbidity, and that's what happens when you have two or more medical conditions that are found together. So for instance, depression and anxiety go hand in hand with bulimia nervosa. Up to 50% of people who have bulimia nervosa also experience depression. 41% also experience anxiety. 34% actually abuse alcohol, and 26% use another illicit drug. So suicide is something that you have to really be careful with, because 1% of bulimics will be successful in a suicide attempt. This has to do with, there's a couple of traits that are known that bulimics exhibit. It's impulsivity, perfectionism, compulsiveness, and narcissism. So that's like, the impulsiveness means that they can't really control their actions. Like they just make a rash decision without thinking about the consequences. Perfectionism means that they hold themselves to a high standard, and they can also feel really guilty if they don't meet that standard. Compulsion is kind of feeling like you have to do something over and over. And so that has to do with like the purges. And then narcissism is because they feel like their appearance is so important to them. So some of the therapy that we use is psychotherapy, and specifically cognitive behavioral therapy, also known as CBT. The goals of CBT are to improve the person's self-esteem, to put less emphasis on thinness as an ideal, to eliminate the dietary restraint that these individuals place on themselves, to establish regular patterns of regular food intake and amounts, and to eliminate the binge purge cycle. So a lot of you might be like, well, I mean, I binge eat And we're not talking about, like, if you're sitting at Thanksgiving dinner and you have, like, two or three plates of food. That's, quote-unquote, considered normal for that time period, and a lot of people engage in it. So what we mean by binge eating is by eating, like, going out to a restaurant and eating everything on your plate and then going home and then having another meal, like, immediately afterwards. So that's kind of what binge eating is. It's not like if you just eat small amounts of food throughout the day. It's what we call grazing. It's not binge eating. So cognitive behavioral therapy strives to modify the thoughts and attitudes and beliefs and change the behaviors that those attitudes and beliefs are based on. So what they try to do is they try to take the idea that, let's say that this person believes, I don't have a boyfriend because I'm fat, and they want to make turn that around and say, well, I might meet people if I join a club. And so it's trying to change the way a person thinks so that way they can change their behaviors. This kind of therapy for bulimia nervosa consists of 21-hour sessions spread out over a 16-week period. And what's really cool is that this is really effective. In one study, they showed that 75% after completing these 20 sessions with a trained therapist, that they no longer met the bulimia criteria. And this was still true 5 years later. So cognitive behavioral therapy can work, but if it doesn't, then physician's next step is to add like an antidepressant to that and then go from there. So that's what I had on bulimia nervosa. It's a pretty interesting topic, and it kind of goes right hand in hand with one of our other topics we'll be talking about later, and that's anorexia nervosa.
Well, all righty. Thanks so much, DJ Evil. Up next, you all will be hearing Buffalo Soldier by Bob Marley and the Wailers, and we will return with more eating disorder topics. So stay tuned.
Africa, brought to America. sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. What 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Yes. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. This 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on a dock of the bay, wasting
Baby.
You're listening to Kirksville's True Alternative, 88.7 The Edge, and you're listening to The Pit. This is DJ Cece. I'm here with DJ Evil and DJ EJ.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
And tonight we are, well, before we talk about our discussion, let me just remind you all of what you just listened to. So you heard Otis Redding's Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, and then Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. And tonight we're talking about eating disorders in general, and just some of the warning signs and things you can look for. Up next, you're going to hear from DJ EJ. He will be speaking about body dysmorphic disorders and binge eating disorders.
But before I tell you about that, I will tell you that there will be no air conditioning or heating on the west side of McLean Hall for about 4 weeks. Is the air benders, is what this says, on that side of the building are being replaced. This is part of Truman's Energy Project and should be completed around November 6th, 2015. Going into my segment on eating disorders, DJ Evil covered bulimia, and that's bulimia nervosa to be exact, and also some of the screenings for various disorders. The next one will be body dysmorphic disorder, and that is defined as a psychological disorder characterized by an obsessive preoccupation that some aspect of one's own appearance is severely flawed and warrants exceptional measures to hide or fix it. Typically, I guess the prototypical idea for this disorder would be one of two things. The first one being a man who is extremely muscular with not a whole lot of fat on his body. He looks like he could be Mr. Olympia or Hercules or something. That's what the world sees when they look at him. But when he looks at himself in the mirror, he sees a very frailish, smaller individual who still needs to put on a whole lot of muscle before he's happy with himself. So that'd be one thing. It basically distorts a person's view of themselves. And the other prototypical side of this is a woman who looks emaciated to everyone else, but when she looks in the mirror, she sees an obese woman. So while a lot of other eating disorders can play into each of these things, those problems themselves are the disorders. Now, if let's say a woman sees that she is overweight, but she is actually very, very thin and frail, she can also have something such as anorexia nervosa, where she goes about changing this, or trying to change it by starving herself or something like that, only worsening the problem of health. So while the two examples I just mentioned are the extremes, or some of the extremes, there can be countless other variants of the disorder. Someone who despises the way their nose looks and seeks an elective cosmetic operation to quote-unquote fix it, then they only dislike the product and repeat the sequence, is one other example of the disorder. It can be any part of your body. It can be your hair, your eyes, your nose. I've seen some things on the interwebs of a real-life Barbie, a real-life Ken. These people are trying to make their physique and the way they look out to be a doll. And personal opinions aside, I'd say that that's not the healthiest thing in the world. And it's definitely weird, as weird being the opposite of normal, I guess. But again, that's just me. Theater evil.
Yeah, I was going to say I already look like a Cabbage Patch doll, so I guess I got the doll thing down.
If we're all going for dolls, I want to be Gumby or something.
Gumby?
Or something that Stretch Armstrong would be a good one. So I'm really muscular, and I'm very flexible at the same time.
Okay.
Because those two things don't go hand in hand. Anyway, body dysmorphic disorder. I'm going to abbreviate it as BDD because it's a mouthful to say in its entirety. Comes in two flavors. There's a delusional kind and an actual kind. The delusional kind is when the individual's obsession is not based backed by an actual flaw. So if someone thinks that their nose is too big and everyone else looks at them and is like, your nose, there's nothing at all wrong with your nose. You just, for whatever reason, have this opinion that your nose is really big or there's a flaw to it. So delusional is when you think there's a problem as an individual, but there's actually nothing there. Actual is when the actual type is when the individual's obsession is supported by an actual flaw, yet the flaw itself is exaggerated. The significance of it is exaggerated by the individual to an unhealthy level. So if someone has, let's stick with noses, if someone has kind of a bridged nose, so like the point between where it meets their face and the tip of it kind of comes up a little bit, and they think that it looks like Mount Everest is in the middle of their face because of that, that would be another example. BDD is not to be confused with anorexia nervosa, rather has closer ties to obsessive compulsive disorder, as individuals preoccupy themselves with their quote-unquote issue for hours of each day, constantly checking their flaws and seeking perfection of those flaws. Whereas anorexia nervosa or other, like I explained earlier, anorexia can be a product of a disorder like this where the people might starve themselves or something like that, but it is not in and of itself an eating disorder. BDD is nothing to overlook, as studies have shown that the disorder is severely underdiagnosed, which means that there are tons of people out there who have these problems, but either they don't see it as a problem or they hide it really well and no one else sees it as a problem, so they just go on living their lives and everyone is none the wiser of this problem that they have. And this is problematic because those struggling with BDD are exceptionally prone to suicidal ideation. The problem that they see themselves having becomes so so monstrous in their life that they decide that it isn't worth it. And I would hope that no one would actually believe that, because anything like this is not worth taking those measures and doing something like that. And BDD is something that can be treated. You can have cognitive behavioral therapy, where you actually go see someone and they, as Jen was, DJ Evil was explaining earlier, I'm really bad with the DJ names, my apologies. As DJ Evil was explaining, there are a certain amount of sessions for time, and I forget what she said, but there's an algorithm for that kind of thing. And you can also give some type of an antidepressant, like an SSRI drug. And that's
what's that?
Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor.
So that's why you called it an SSRI, because right, it's a mouthful.
Because nobody knows what it is. So that wraps up body dysmorphic disorder. And I'm going to go into one more, binge eating disorder. And DJ Evil covered bulimia nervosa, which a lot of what she said had to do with binging and purging, and the binging and purging being of different kinds depending on the individual and what they're more prone to. But binge eating is eating in a discrete period of time within any two-hour period an amount of food that is definitely larger than what most people would eat in a similar period of time under similar circumstances. A sense of lack of control over eating during the episode. For example, a feeling that one cannot stop eating or control what or how much one is eating. A part of this is intertwined with bulimia nervosa. But the binge eating disorder, what separates that from bulimia nervosa, and DJ Evo can comment if I'm missing anything in this, is the binge eating episodes are not followed up by some type of purge. It's not gonna, they're not gonna retch, they're not gonna go for a long run, they're gonna wait until the real full feeling goes away, and then they're gonna continue living their lives as they were or continue eating, something of that nature. There are tons of reasons why an individual would partake in binge eating. Sometimes that's how people deal with stress. Sometimes that's how people deal with disappointment or whatever, not feeling adequate with their family or friends. It's kind of, it takes comfort food to an entire a new level and an unhealthy level at that. A diagnosis of binge eating disorder must maintain that the individual, as I said before, does not couple the binging with some type of calorie burning or calorie getting rid of, such as throwing up, such as bulimia nervosa or anorexia nervosa might add to it. And not everyone who binge eats can be diagnosed with binge eating disorder. I myself binge eat every Thanksgiving and every
so
Christmas.
Do I.
But I am pretty confident that I do not have this disorder. It has to be more of a habitual thing. What did you say, something like 3 months?
So binge eating, you have to have once a week for 3 months or longer. And so to go with that whole Thanksgiving thing, it has to be, the binge eating has to be in a discrete period of time, so within a 2-hour period, an amount of food that is definitely larger than most people would eat during a similar period of time. So most of us, we do binge eat like over Thanksgiving or Christmas. That's just because that's what our culture says is acceptable, and so that's why it's not considered a binge eating disorder when you binge out like on those holidays.
Yeah, so I'm sure that I'm not the only one. My two colleagues have confirmed that they both partake in that activity of binging on the holidays.
Turkey and dressing, man. That's the way to go.
That's pretty good. But if you are an individual who finds yourself doing it in kind of a hidden manner or more often than that, and you find that your weight is suffering from that, it might be something. It might be wise to go see a physician and alert them of your suspicions. Binge eating is more likely to occur after dieting, and vice versa. So, if someone diets for a long time, they feel like they've done well, and then they can reward themselves by binging. And the opposite of that is true. If someone has just binged, they might feel guilty about it, and they might go on a diet for a period of time only to repeat the cycle of binging after that diet. Treatment can be somewhat of a 12-step program similar to that for alcoholics. It can also include medications such as an antidepressant like an SSRI that I talked about for BDD. And also you can take anti-obesity drugs if the binging doesn't seem to be stopping. And that is to control the unhealthy weight that you might put on if you do suffer from this disorder. I believe that is all that I had. Would the two of y'all like to add anything to either of those things before
no,
we go on break?
No, I think you've pretty much covered it
you
all.
You did a great job of explaining like the differences between binge eating and bulimia nervosa. Way to go.
Well, cool. I hope that helps the listeners. Maybe, if not for themselves, maybe someone that they know that they can offer a helping hand to.
Certainly.
I'm going to give it to the audio producer in the booth, DJ CC.
All right. All righty. Well, thank you very much, DJ EJ. That was very insightful. So up next, you all will be hearing Pretty Persuasion by REM.
This song is called Pretty Persuasion, and it is... It's not really a family story, but it's true. Here we go.
Listening to Kirksville's True Alternative 88.7 The Edge, and this is The Pit. I'm DJ Cece here with DJ Evil and
hey.
DJ EJ.
Hey.
Hi, everyone. So, you heard from DJ EJ during the last segment. He talked about body dysmorphic disorder and binge eating disorders, and I, DJ Cece, I will speak with you just briefly about anorexia nervosa. But before I get started, DJ Evil has something she'd like to say.
Are you interested in healthcare? Do you have a burning medical question? Well, The Pit, Physicians in Training, is the show for you. Join DJ Cece, DJ EJ, DJ Southside, and DJ Evil Tuesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. for the latest topics in medicine Increase your medical knowledge and hear some infectious tunes by tuning in to The Pit. And yes, that was just a little bit of a self-promo, but you guys should listen every week.
All righty. So as I mentioned before, I'm going to just briefly discuss anorexia nervosa and some of the details regarding it. So it basically involves self-starvation. The body is denied the essential nutrients it needs to function normally, so it is forced to slow down all of its processes to conserve energy. This slowing down can have serious medical consequences, such as an abnormally slow heart rate and low blood pressure, which means that the heart muscle is changing and the risk for heart failure rises as heart rate and blood pressure levels sink lower and lower. There's also the risk of reduction of bone density, which is osteoporosis, which results in dry, brittle bones, muscle loss and weakness, severe dehydration, which can result in kidney failure, fainting, fatigue, and overall weakness, dry hair and skin, hair loss is very common, and then the growth of a downy layer of hair called lanugo all over the body, including the face, in an effort to keep the body warm. And so just to give you all a little bit of background information regarding anorexia, approximately 90 to 95% of anorexia nervosa sufferers are girls and women. It's one of the most common psychiatric diagnoses in young women, and between 5 to 20% of individuals struggling with anorexia will die. The probabilities of death increases within that range depending on the length of the condition. Anorexia has one of the highest death rates of any mental health condition, and it typically appears in early to mid adolescence. So anorexia has four primary symptoms: resistance to maintaining body weight at or above a minimally normal weight for age and height is the first. The second one is intense fear of weight gain or being fat, even though underweight. The third is disturbance in the experience of body weight or shape, undue influence of weight or shape on self-evaluation or denial of the seriousness of low body weight. And then lastly, the loss of menstrual periods in girls and women post-puberty. Eating disorders experts have found that prompt intensive treatment significantly improves the chances of recovery. Therefore, it is important to be aware of some of the warning signs of anorexia nervosa. So warning signs include dramatic weight loss, preoccupation with weight, food, calories, fat grams, and dieting, refusal to eat certain foods, progressing to restrictions against whole categories of food, such as no carbohydrates, frequent comments about feeling fat or overweight despite weight loss, anxiety about gaining weight or being fat, denial of hunger, development of food rituals, such as eating foods in certain orders, excessive chewing, or rearranging food on a plate, consistent excuses to avoid mealtimes or situations involving food, excessive rigid exercise regimen despite weather, fatigue, illness, or injury, so just having that constant need to burn off calories taken in, and then withdrawal from usual friends and activities, in general, behaviors and attitudes indicating that weight loss, dieting, and control of food are becoming primary concerns. So those are definitely warning signs of anorexia. And although anorexia is more prevalent in females, it affects males as well. And so here are some of the behavioral characteristics that you might want to look for in males. So excessive dieting, fasting, restricted diet, food rituals, preoccupation with bodybuilding, weightlifting, or muscle toning, compulsive exercise, difficulty eating with others, lying about eating, frequently weighing self, preoccupation with food, focus on certain body parts, the buttocks, thighs, or stomach, disgust with body size or shape, and then distortion of body size. There are also emotional and mental characteristics that you can look for as well, such as intense fear of becoming fat or gaining weight, depression, social isolation, strong need to be in control, rigid, inflexible thinking, such as all or nothing, decreased interest in sex or fears around sex, possible conflict over gender identity or sexual orientation, low sense of self-worth, uses weight as a measure of worth, and then difficulty of expressing feelings, perfectionistic, strives to be the neatest, thinnest, smartest, etc., difficulty thinking clearly or concentrating, irritability, denial, believes others are overreacting to his low weight or caloric restriction, and then insomnia, basically having a hard time sleeping. And then lastly, some of the physical characteristics would include low body weight, 15% or more below what is expected for age, height, and activity level, lack of energy or fatigue, muscular weakness, decreased balance or unsteady gait, lowered body temperature, blood pressure, and pulse rate, tingling in hands and feet, thinning hair or hair loss, lanugo, which is basically that thin layer of surface body hair that I mentioned before, heart arrhythmia, which is basically an abnormal heart rate or heartbeat, and then lowered testosterone levels. So those are some of the behavioral, emotional, and physical characteristics that you can look for in males, which there is a lot of overlap in terms of signs and symptoms that you can see with males and females. In terms of treatment, some of these options were touched on before, which would include the cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, but more specifically for anorexia, nutritional rehabilitation or nutritional support would be included in the treatment regimen. And then also medications such as appetite stimulants. So as far as anorexia goes, that's all that I have for you all. Is there anything that you two would like to add, DJ EJ or DJ Evil?
I think you did a great job.
Oh, no, thank you.
I got nothing.
You got nothing? Alrighty. Well, up next, you lovely people will be hearing Billie Jean by Michael Jackson.
That's a classic.
It is. And so this basically concludes our show. Thank you all for listening. We had a blast hanging out with you.
We'll see you next week.
Oh, yeah. Right here, 7 o'clock.
On 88.7 The Edge. Dance.